In this world, nightmares lurk. They hide in our neighborhoods, walk our streets, wear our faces. But they are not us. They are the world's best kept secret, and we are gonna find them. Welcome to Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell.
Tabletop campaign played in the Hunter the Vigil storyteller system, and last time we left our players in an amusement park for the damned, getting new outfits from a pop-up boutique.
I love this.
I hate this.
Sulking aggressively on the balcony.
I'm still on the bed. This is incredible.
Okay. How so bad does this work?
Well, you can give me a style that you'd like to try, or you can browse yourself. You'll find that when you hold your garments up to the viewing screens, and she demonstrates by lifting a hanger very delicately by two fingers and holding it in front. It's a long dress, a sort of, not quite a menu, but a sort of astral options menu appears, where you can change the color, the pattern, the size, swap out the sleeves, add, subtract, do whatever you want.
It's a character creator.
It is a character creator. That's what I'm saying.
The Sims.
Thank you for giving me the words. And you can do that for any and all. And she puts the hanger back on and says, and of course, she opens the wardrobe, which after it sprung all of the others out, it sort of closed and reset. And she opens the two center doors. And there's a very racy assortment of gear. She says, and of course you can dress up your sleeves if that's what you'd like.
Oh, I would love to.
I have you marked for pleasure, so that's the inventory I stocked. But of course you can change it out for other things if you'd like. And she twists the knob 180 degrees and the rack inside of the wardrobe spins. And a horrifying amalgamation of torture devices appears. You know, if that's the sort of enjoyment you're seeking.
You know, let's just spin that back to the other side. Thank you.
Right away, ma'am. She spins it. Yeah, I have you down for spring court, so I thought that would probably be your hunger.
Yeah, of course. All right, so I'm going to go back to the ladies' clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
And at this point, she pretty much leaves you alone. She just goes and takes her stool to the corner. She says, and just let me know if you need anything.
Well, we're supposed to get drinks, too.
Oh, I forgot. She runs out to the hallway and comes back in with a service tray loaded with a large variety of drinks. Some of them familiar, others very unappealing.
Darla's going to grab a bottle of champagne.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to pop the cork and then start drinking directly from the bottle as she browses.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, very
checks out. And then she's going to, I feel like Darla's going to be here for a while. 3 days is a long time. So she's going to pick out a bunch of different outfits, including formal wear and, you know, stuff to go around in
sure.
Casual wear.
Anyone that uses the wardrobe at this time, jokes aside, can claim to have anything they want for the rest of this trip, and I will allow it.
Nice. Okay.
I'll just assume that you could have pulled that out now.
Do we get to keep it?
Yes.
Oh, yes!
Free clothes.
Free clothes. Dress-up time for all characters.
Hey, on a hunter's budget, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yep, it is.
Wolf is just excited because he's a big guy and there's decent clothes here.
Oh, yeah, you can find literally any style. Things that they would never make in your size are available in infinite varieties.
For comfort, nice. as long as we're going for comfort right now, Abernathy is going to get a sleeveless shirt with a Los Angeles Clippers logo on the front, basketball shorts, socks, Crocs, and a kimono.
Oh, Jesus.
I can totally picture this.
Yeah, it's really good.
This is the worst thing.
I am in for the night.
Just a little bit of scraggly hair sticking out the tank.
A little bit.
Crocs and
it's like graying too, so it's like silver like chest hair. Oh, perfection.
It's beautiful.
I feel like I'm in my element.
And JD's gonna walk over to the portable bar they rolled in. He's gonna sigh and he's gonna cover his eyes and just reach and grab something.
Okay. Are you gonna look before you drink?
Nope. He's just gonna drink it.
I'm so sorry. Oh. give yourself the condition nauseous. It is a jar of bile.
Oh. It's what you get. You didn't do it.
And I'm gonna have you take one bashing also.
Everything tasted good so far.
Everything was great until he drank the bile.
Why would that
I
be
did
there?
Warn you that there were some things unsavory on there. Yes, Wolf.
You got him a poop fillet earlier, and it tasted wonderful, so
it turned into crawfish.
Can I? So this is a mechanic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can Wolf harvest?
Well, yeah. If your needle or thread is present, he can.
No. Not for willpower. Harvest is for glamour.
Oh, certainly.
Because Darla is going hog wild with everything.
Oh yeah, she certainly has the joy you need.
Okay, can I harvest that? What would you have me roll for this?
So, glamour, when you're harvesting an emotion that's already present, is freeform, so we just kind of decide what's appropriate at the time.
Okay.
I'm going to say presence plus your occult.
I don't have any cult.
Presence plus... what's your power stat? That's what we're regenerating right now, right?
My power stat? You mean my weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my weird does tie to my, glamour, I guess. I'm basically trying to get my MP back.
Right, I understand. Because, like, in Demon, I always had Aether, and then I had my Primum, which was, like, the strength of my demon. Mm-hmm. So what would be the equivalent to your Primum?
Primum was your strength of your demon?
Yeah.
That would be my weird.
Okay, so your current weird number is?
One.
One. All right. So we'll do one for your weird plus presence.
Okay.
That'll
so
be what you roll.
Four dice.
And you get a plus three because this emotion is being felt very strongly and very freely by Darla right now.
Great. So that makes it seven dice. And I'm sorry if I'm not getting picked up by the microphone. I really need to change my recording setup. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right.
Yeah, like every stat has a every splat has a potency. Like in vampire, it is blood potency.
Mm-hmm.
In demon, it's primum. Weird for changelings. So that's sometimes a fallback stat for stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got one success.
All right, so you can regenerate one of your points.
Glamour.
Yes, I'm picking it up. It's slow, but I'm picking it up.
So with one glamour, that will return Wolf to to his natural look.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice. Oof.
What the fuck?
And
okay.
I will say that this is because you are an addictive personality, you have always sort of emotionally stabilized yourself with alcohol, with cigarettes, with sex. Doing this process is especially potent for Wolf. It's an intensely enjoyable experience.
Hmm. Whoa.
Whoa. Hey, you're back to...
I'm back to normal. Oh my god, that felt great. Fuck. Woof.
What did you do something?
I kind of just... He looks over at Darla... She was kind of just going hog wild on those clothes, and I sort of focused on that for a minute, and Is shopping my superpower?
We can test that out.
I'm not complaining.
Get somebody else over there? No?
I have no idea. Alright. But, Mason? Buddy?
Yeah.
Can you do me a big favor?
Yes?
Can you stand on that thing real quick?
Why?
Because there's an outfit right here that I think would look perfect on you. Darla, come on.
Darla's using it right now, and she'll...
Mason, don't be a pussy.
Yeah.
Put on some goddamn clothes.
Yeah. No, this is very functional, thank you.
Yeah.
It's not about being functional. Darla comes over. She's got a huge amount of clothes in her arm. It is not about being functional. It's about having fun.
And I found you something functional. It looks... It will be very functional, and it... Dude... Come on, you've worn basically the same outfit since we met.
Yeah.
So put your cute ass on the dais and put whatever he picks out on. Do it. I will social pressure you. Here, drink a little bit.
Stop bullying him.
I'm gonna bully until he puts some clothes on. Let's do it.
The fuck is this?
It's champagne.
Oh, God. That's...
Yeah, isn't it great?
Oh,
no.
Oh, I'm gonna sit down. Okay.
It doesn't look like it's had an alcohol before.
Yeah. But the last time Mason had alcohol, he thought that bourbon was water, essentially. So he just drank it as such, and then that was bad.
That was very bad.
It was very bad. It was at the rap party.
It was.
I will say, though, that this champagne is not normal champagne, and it does clear up your migraine, which is nice.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. I might want some more of that. I guess he'll sit down.
Great.
Over on the podium?
Dais.
It's sort of standing room only.
All right. So Wolf hands him a wool-lined leather jacket, a not tight, but definitely tailored sweater, some properly tailored jeans for once in his goddamn life, and a pair of boots that are not from Walmart.
Oof. That is a big improvement.
And finger gloves. He needs finger gloves. Yeah.
Fingerless gloves.
Oh, and just because I think these things are stupid, but I think you'd look good in them. And finger gloves.
Darla lets out a wolf whistle and then tosses back some more champagne.
Wolf, you're free to try and harvest glamour again.
Oh, okay.
I think this experience has renewed Darla's joy.
Okay, same dice pool.
Same dice pool.
Right, Mason's gonna take off for the bathroom so he can change.
I don't think that's worth the effort. Though there's like a glass. Wasn't there a glass wall for the bathroom?
What?
It's a wall with a door, but there is a fireplace that allows you to see through to the bathroom.
Abernathy goes to take a shit.
Everyone, just be aware of that.
You just lock eyes with Abernathy as he's shitting. And he's like, this is more awkward for me than it is for you.
Is there anything here that isn't see-through?
Someone turns on the fireplace as they're staring each other down.
Sorry. Now he's shitting, looking at us, and surrounded by fire. You made it worse.
Turn around.
I was joking, but...
I mean, there's probably an area where you can go to the side.
Is there?
Strip down to your boxes.
I can't break eye contact!
This is a sex palace. That might not be a thing in this room.
There is the slaves' quarters. You could go over there.
Okay, I'm gonna go over there and put on clothes.
Okay. I mean, it's still just bars, but it's on the other side of the clothing rack, so it's mostly private.
All right.
Mostly bars. Slaves quarters.
It's just a bar and corner.
It's a slavery cage.
Well, the thing is that the cage has clearly been jerry-rigged into the corner of this room because it's not an attached suite. They like put this together per your request.
It's lined with hay and it has a little water dispenser.
Like this is normally just part of the balcony, but they sectioned it off with bars to make slaves accommodation.
Very well.
There's a dispenser for pellets for you guys to eat.
There is, actually.
Yeah. They and a little wheel for you to get exercise.
Is there a water bottle?
Like with a little bagels? With a little like ball in it, yeah, like a hamster gun. Yes. That you like you have to like push the ball up and water comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mason would peel off his shirt.
It's hell.
And glare daggers at you until you turn around.
Eat a pellet.
I think while he's doing it, I think Darla's just gonna change into new clothes. I don't think she gives a shit.
Okay.
I think casual Darla is. I mean, she kind of wears. She's gonna strip out of the frankly ruined evening wear that she's in and put it something on that's not too terribly different from what she wears casually. It's just nicer. Which is some sort of like lacy tank top tucked into some tight jeans that are pretty belted with some huge belt buckle. And like a
there are some perpetually warm towelettes in the drink service too for you to wash the blood off your face.
Yeah, I think she's gonna just
perpetually warm.
Perpetually warm. Yeah, and then maybe like a leather jacket that goes over that.
Is the I almost said flight attendant. Is the attendant? Sure, let's go with that. Are they still here?
Yeah, she's sitting in the corner watching the proceedings.
Yeah, Abernathy sits up and he says, "Do you if the Lord and Lady will allow it?"
It depends on what it is, sweetheart.
You got weed?
As the attendant looks to the lady,
Darla waves her hand like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yes, of course. She jumps up to the drink service, and there are two drawers with dainty little clawed handles that she pulls out, and the bins inside pop up as if to be like stadium stands full, one of them being cigars, the other being weed.
Okay, yeah.
Doobie doobie doobie, where are you? So,
Abernathy just like grabs like a few good nugs and is just kind of like that.
She holds her hand up and goes,
Yes.
She sort of laughs and goes, those are for the elephantus. You might go for some of these.
Elephantus. And so he like gingerly picks up one, one that she recommends. And
she nods and goes, I believe those doses are lethal to humans.
Oh.
Lethal weed.
That is a lot.
And that's the death of Abernathy. Roll up a new character.
You went as you lived.
That was it. Abernathy rolled up a joint, but he needed to roll up a new character. Don't do drugs, kids.
Oh, God.
Normally, I would not risk like threaten that for weed, but...
We're having fun.
Yes.
We're in Lake Pontchartrain. Don't worry about it.
It's spring break! Woo!
JD's also going to retrieve a real drink, probably a whiskey.
Yep, you can have whatever you want.
From the thing, and then he's going to go to the boudoir.
Okay.
I guess. And he's gonna dial up a couple new suits. Is it possible to get them water repellent?
Yeah.
Is the cloth still nice?
No, because it's magical. You can't really tell the difference.
Okay.
Although, well, make me an intelligence roll. Intelligence.
Just intelligence?
Wits intelligence.
Okay. That helps. Three.
Somehow, something clicks in JD's mind. A bit of common sense. A very unique experience, to be sure. He thinks, hey... If this waterproof stuff's magic, I bet people who can detect magic will tell that it's magic.
Hmm.
He's just aware that if he wears this magic suit, that he's going to appear magical to people.
Okay.
Which in some circumstances may be a big deal.
Yeah, well, he's going to get, you know, the free magic suits. Yeah. On
I don't
line.
Think it's gonna stop him. I'm putting that in your pocket.
And you would get a couple and a couple like regular colors, probably like with the vest, double breasted, and then he'd probably though for the tie and the pocket square, get abnormal colors.
Okay.
Ooh. Just like dial up some colors that you probably wouldn't be able to mix regularly.
Yeah.
Probably like a vibrant blue and a purple and something else, a green maybe.
You got it. And you can specify that at any point. I will not incur reality here.
I want Darla to have a pair of leopard print heels that are indiscriminately rhinestoned. Just the worst version of that you can think of. And she's going to sort of find them and squeal and then put them on.
Oh, God.
I love these.
Leopard print and sequin.
And rhinestoned, yes.
Oh, God.
They're the type of sequins that if you rub them, they turn to different colors depending on the direction.
Yeah, of course. No, that's a different. Rhinestones and sequins are different.
Okay.
Rhinestones are the stones.
All right, so now that we have gone full My Immortal and described everyone's clothes in excruciating detail.
And then I get two colored streaks in my hair. No, I'm joking.
Yes.
Can Mason get a fire retardant version of his jacket?
Yes, he can.
Thank you.
Abernathy gets, like, combat fatigues.
Okay. Yes.
And that's Wolf has officially reached peak daddy.
What'd he get?
Well, I don't know. I just like the idea that we put him in some very fancy clothes and kind of trim him up a little bit, and you're like, oh yeah, Wolf's hot.
Yes, so all of you are now aware of his striking looks, where previously you could not notice. You could possibly not immediately notice.
Mm. Wolf, you clean up. Why didn't you tell me you were kind of hot?
Because you're not.
Oh, that's
what? I'm kidding.
Here I am. I just support you. And I take you to good places.
It's a joke. You're my favorite wife.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry, yeah. It was sarcasm.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You got it, buddy. Good on you.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Okay, well, it looks like everyone's finished here.
Yes.
I guess okay. So.
She looks around. She goes, No accessories? Okay, I'll tell my manager. We need to work on the pleasure.
Wait. Wolf takes takes this really fancy kind of jaunty hat. Perfect.
I think, Darla, for the sake of looks, for the sake of
appearances,
yes, my brain did not want that.
I'm giving you a very stern look right now.
She sort of grins, and she walks over to the pleasure section and finds three sort of matching thongs, for men, of course, pulls them out, and says, we'll take these three.
Oh, good. My boss always gets very nervous if he thinks we haven't pleased our customers.
Yeah, oh, I like these tail accessories. These are nice.
Do they have watches?
They do have watches.
Just like, watch. Like, just...
And then she snaps the things closed, much lighter spirited, says, well, thank you all for shopping. We hope you have an excellent day.
Thank you very much.
And she wheels with great effort the wardrobe back out, leaving the drink service there. And as she exits, the slipping in through the door is a woman with a portable massage table in each hand. She is a large, purple-skinned, orcish-looking woman with massive biceps and a very kind face.
Garrett's into it.
She puts them down.
I am. I will not lie.
This is the ideal build for masseuse.
This is a little wish fulfillment, I'll admit.
Yes. Destroying hands.
Yes.
And then she...
she breaks you so she can rebuild you, Garrett.
She hurls both tables into the air and they unfold, snap, and land very neatly into massage tables. She cracks her massive knuckles and rolls in a preparing gesture her very large, soft-looking thumbs and says... Well then, I'm here for the massage, the couple's massage on the veranda.
Darla sort of raises the arm that has the champagne, and it goes, that's me, darling!
And who is the mister? She looks between everyone.
She points towards Wolf. This is my husband!
Oh, very good, very good. So will you be having the glamour soak, or no?
Yes.
Oh, very good, very good.
What's a glamour soak?
She flips his table over and sort of taps it with her toe, and walls arise from the legs to form a tub, which then begins to fill with a mystical purple-pink bubbling sparkly liquid. It looks very much like champagne, except pink. And she sort of, as it's filling, pulls it out onto the veranda and says, well, you can soak in there as long as you like, and I'll get to the missus first.
All right.
Darling.
And Wolf has no qualms about getting down to his boxers and jumping in.
I think Darla's probably never had a massage ever in her life. So she just sort of, like, smiles and kind of...
And the woman sort of stands there for a moment while Darla looks lost, and she says, your clothing, ma'am.
Oh, you want me to be naked? Okay.
As naked as you are comfortable with. And, she just... and please cover all abyssal voids on your body.
Oh, I definitely make sure that that's covered, yeah. And then, I guess, she'll... strip down her underwear, I don't know.
And then she sort of leads you to the table, and in a very billowy gesture, she lays a sheet over it, and then lays a sheet over you, and tucks it neatly under your form. She says, and what sort of service are you interested in? External, internal?
I think we'll just look around a bit. He's going to walk towards the door, and he's going to grab the bottle of whiskey on his way out.
We're going for a walk. I was going to wait until they were properly distracted, but yes, let's do that.
Mason and JD are like immediately to the door.
A quick escape. But
the word internal.
Abernathy does not make it out in time since he's not quite on a hair trigger.
Oh, no.
She looks over and looks at her and at Darla and says, well, surely you'll want your cupbearer to stay.
Yes, Abernathy.
Does Wolf hear this?
Best leaving room.
Is that?
Yes, Wolf hears this.
Actually, I would, as the man of the house and as someone who very much appreciates the wonders of the patriarchy.
Yes, of course.
Yes, such a loving and submissive wife I have. Could we get?
Of course.
And Wolf is just looking over his shoulder at her and just. Loving this so much. Could we get a glamour soak for him as well?
Well, that won't be necessary.
Well, certainly, sir, if you would like. And she walks over to the table, and much like the bed, just makes it a double wide with a second sort of lounging bench, and gestures, if you please, you most preferred of all slaves.
Abernathy just kind of like just no qualms, just immediately disrobes and just sort of like does like that wide leg, just sort of like, here, I'll get up to demonstrate.
They can't
just
see it. This is an audio medium.
Dork
leg. Just imagine the way that an old man spreading his legs so far that there's no way that you don't just get an eye full of dangly testicles as he just gets right in.
Darla will sort of shield her eyes from that. And then look up.
The most horrible thing she's seen since being down here.
Yeah. And Abernathy just sits there making hard eye contact with the two and just says, there's great injustice in this place and you're keeping me here. I might as well be soaked in the blood of the innocent.
Well, that's nice. Hey, when you're done with your soak, can you bring me another glass of champagne? Servant.
He gets right back out. Wide leg.
No. We're relaxing right now. No more fighting. Just relaxing.
The masseuse is extremely uncomfortable with your lax treatment of slaves.
Sorry, they're free range.
And she nods and says, oh yes, I've heard that they are much more productive.
They are. We get twice the work out of
well,
them.
Well, perhaps I, for the ease of all, I could contribute one of my slaves. And she's sort of a... out of her pocket pulls a little device like a beeper, and she keys in with great effort a message, and shortly after a young man in a loincloth runs into the room and kneels promptly at the side of the massage table holding the champagne bottle.
Oh, thank you. And she takes it and she takes a drink.
So should I get back in, or am I going to stay out here with my bits in the wind?
Just get in.
I guess just get in the bath. I don't care anymore.
Oh, this is nice.
Told ya.
Well, now if we can begin the proceedings.
Yeah.
The woman proceeds to give you the most amazing massage you've ever experienced, and you can take off another 2 lethal.
Yes.
And restore 2 willpower.
Yes.
I need that.
Wolf, take 3 glamour.
Oh.
And Abernathy, I guess willpower is pretty much similar. I'll give you 2 willpower for the soak.
Cool, thank you. I need an eraser.
Here. And with that, let's hop over to what Mason and JD are up to. So, you wander down the hallway of this hotel. The way it's constructed is that the bulb that you are in, the sort of, I don't know how else to describe it, this almost teardrop-shaped building, every floor has a walkway around the edges where the rooms are, but it's all open into this sort of cavernous interior, mm-hmm. at the bottom of which is a luxurious lobby with sort of loungy music playing and the sort of babbling splash of fountains and little couches everywhere with plants and people walking around. It's very refreshing and open air. And you can see everyone in the lobby from where you are. So you walk the rim of this balcony unless you decide to venture further.
Question, if you jump, do you fall as if you're in water or
air?
There is
no water inside.
Oh, there's no water. No
although, since people are allowed to open their balconies, there are sections which are very wet.
Okay.
And have sort of rivers flowing from them and cascading into the atrium and down into the fountain at the bottom.
Okay.
To be cycled out and put back into the lake.
Huh.
I thought this shit out.
Well, just head on down. I'm gonna see what there is around.
I think Mason's keeping a close eye on the humans that are trapped in whatever facilities they're trapped in.
Well, the disturbing thing is that very few of them really are trapped. I mean, there are certain people who do have their slaves on sort of little, you know, like the monkey backpacks that you put kids on in malls that tend to run away.
Yeah.
It's like the metal version of that.
Jesus Christ.
So those are personal owners. The slaves that actually work at the facility all seem to be, as Darla would put it, free range.
So, okay.
Merely beaten into submission to such an extent that they do not even attempt to disobey.
What does this seem like? It's probably somewhere north of the hundreds.
It's for the entire facility is probably a couple hundred. What you see in the hotel is probably about 30. There's a good 10 of them running the elevators and, you know, a few sort of housemaids working their way down through each level as they clean, and then a handful down in the lounge area serving drinks and working behind the counters.
Cool. We should conduct ourselves as if we're doing things here, but Mason,
why?
Whatever we're doing, what are we doing?
You probably just look like guests.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
We have room keys and stuff.
Free the slaves, burn it down.
That's the,
So
as JD's partaking from a bottle of whiskey. Yeah.
So personal servants and slaves, it varies by whoever they serve. But the hotel slaves are easy to spot because they all wear very smart little regulation loincloths.
They have a little symbol on the front.
Well, they're of a uniform color with a matching sort of band for the belts. And the ladies have a very tasteful sort of top that goes up to the neck and a little crop. And then to the sides.
Like a Spice Girls top?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're just using the word crop top, right?
Yes. Oh boy. I don't actually know what those are, so I'm going to take your word for it.
It's just a crop top.
Well, let's have a look about the place, I guess. Get the layout.
I guess we go to the concierge.
Yeah.
Very good.
And we go, Master needs to know what there is to do around here.
So what you meet is a sort of aging male werewolf in a half-transformed state. So he's got an excess of hair and a Wolverine style, but he is still mostly human. And he sort of sniffs you both out when you come in, and he goes, servants, I take it.
Free range.
Oh, yes, free range. I heard they're more productive that way.
They're roughly 36%.
Yeah. And he sort of looks between you and he goes, "And who do you serve?" Flipping
it's, through it's his notebook. Master mildly. Wolf is the name. Yep,
Master Wolf.
Wolf. And he sort of sniffs again and he goes, "Not a wolf."
No. Not an actual wolf. That's the it's the with name. An e. The name Wolf, yeah, with an E at the end.
I know a lot of wolves. Good family name. Good strong family name. Would you like to know our packages?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I was just gonna make a dick joke.
packages.
So he hands you a fistful of pamphlets, all in bright colors, advertising a wide variety of activities. Water parks, amusement parks, golfing, touring the reef, swimming with dolphins. Standard tourist type stuff. Except there's also things like blood baths, like the torture spa, and soul bargaining in the casino. Etc.
Point one, burn.
That's what I was gonna.
Point two, it. Point three, down.
Down. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Please.
Just gonna toss like the torture one and the soul bargaining one, just like on the ground, basically right there.
Are there any other events transpiring in the next few days that we should be aware of?
Oh, well, there's a beach volleyball tournament at 3 p.m. today, a drinking contest at 6 p.m. on the nose every single evening, and we have a magician, ventriloquist, comedian, triple threat showing tonight over at the dinner theater.
All right. Thank you for that.
Is there anything you would suggest specifically for a changeling and his human servants?
Which court? He flips through his notebook again.
I would love...
Spring?
Oh, spring. So. Okay, yes, so... Not the grave digging. I highly recommend the comedy act. Many varieties of emotions there to feast on.
Okay, I would actually really love to see a ventriloquist slash magician. Where'd it go? Where's the dummy?
The human actually disappears.
I will encourage you to sign up as soon as possible. Spots do fill.
For the
oh, wow. You again.
Wow, sorry.
They're there.
We got another one.
Reserve a spot for the triple threat.
Yeah.
Right away, sir. And how many patrons and how many attendants?
Two patrons and three attendants.
Okay. Sounds like a box seat. Here's your coupons. And he turns over to another of the shellfish type creatures, only larger. This one's about the size of a lady's purse or a briefcase. That's it. And he takes the face end of the snail and winds it around like an accordion, or not accordion,
an organ grinder?
Like an organ grinder. And the snail poops out a bunch of coupons that he hands to you.
By any chance, could we get a map of the facilities as well?
A map? Why would you need one of those?
In case we get lost.
I'm not sure where I've got one. It does like to change. We don't always keep up with the changes. Let me talk to my manager. He sort of, with great effort, pushes himself up, and you realize that he is obese under the table. He doesn't move much.
More like obese.
He is obese. Because he's
a wolf man.
I see.
So he gets up and sort of waddles into a spinning door and comes out with another rather large wolf. Who is older than him, with a sort of monocle and a waistcoat. And he says,
now what's this you'd be needing? A map?
A map of the facilities.
That's an ask. I should be able to, I mean, of course we can accommodate. We can accommodate anything here at the hotel. I forget what they're called.
Poncho train.
Poncho train, yes. Well, it's not poncho train. It's the part of the lake we're on. It's a very long, strange word. I don't remember. Come back in an hour.
Poncho train.
Punchy train.
Hotel Inlet. That's it, Inlet.
Long word.
Everything's relative here, Darla.
Don't ask questions.
I don't pretend to be good at this.
We believe you anyways for some reason.
Because I'm the storyteller. You have no other choice.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, if they can serve us anything, that gives me ideas.
That's true. And do bring back your master's seal, please, so we can know that this transaction's authorized. Wouldn't want any errors in jurisdiction.
All right.
Yes.
His smile fades in the lack of reaction. Righty-o, anyway, please be on your way. There's a line behind you.
Yeah. Is there? Great.
there is, of one individual.
Okay.
A free-range slave, dressed but not quite as well as you, with sort of mousy blonde hair and beady eyes that seem to skitter around the walls every few seconds.
Let's go back now and get that seal.
yes, sir, he says to the attendant as you all walk away. Back in the room. Darla, you are a puddle on this table.
I am.
You have never been this relaxed in all of your life.
I didn't realize I had so much tension.
And you've spent a lot of time being relaxed in your life because, let's be honest, you haven't done a lot of work.
That's true. I hate work.
So you can restore your willpower completely.
Yes! This is the best place.
I want that. I can't get
Wolf,
that.
Wolf, can we stay here forever?
Yes, Steven?
Well, I was gonna ask if, Wolf and Abernathy could have a talk before we, moved on with this.
Absolutely you can. You've been left alone in a tub together. I don't see why you can't talk.
We're in the same tub?
Yeah.
She just made the tub bigger.
We're basically just sharing a... Two dudes sharing a hot tub 5 feet apart because one's gay.
Yeah, I thought they were adjoining tubs.
No, I thought it was like a Cialis commercial.
Yeah.
I thought that joke went a little flat. No,
I thought you were just like, yeah.
It's a Cialis commercial.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you've been in the same tub this whole time.
Oh, okay. So it's like
just face to face. All
right, then. So Abernathy's like, I'm glad that you're comfortable with your body. It's not so many people in America are.
Eh. I did porn.
Really now?
Yep.
I did. I never made one myself, but I was associate in the production of, what was it again? Ah, yes. The Devil Went Down on Georgia.
That might have been before my time, but hey, good for you. Listen, I want to apologize for what I said.
No need.
No, I called you a babysitter, and I, listen, you were there in the, Arcadia when we went up against you-know-who, and, listen, when Mason said I'd take a bullet for him, he wasn't wrong.
I believe it.
And, I think you kind of... You care about Mason the same way I do. So...
Well, not for nothing, but I've known him longer than you.
Point taken. But...
Not to one-up you, but I'm one-upping you on that.
That's fair. That's fair. Listen, I love him like a brother, and, listen, I'm sorry for what I said, and I would like, after we're out of this... bizarrely relaxing hellscape, I would like to, you know, try to connect a bit more, if that's all right with you.
Well, I'm glad you beat me to the punch on that. I just want to say that it's been a wild ride with me.
I understand that I'm not the most stable person. And you all have been quite patient with me. And so I would like to do something to allow you to trust me more.
All right. Well, after we get out of here, we can figure that out. Because right now, I'm pretty sure I am high as a fucking kite.
Yeah, don't bogart that. Pass that right back, please.
Oh, I'm not smoking anything, dude.
And then he just, like, looks around and he realizes that he's been smoking it himself this whole time. Oh, dear.
I'm in for a good afternoon.
Yep. All right. And Wolf tries not to fall asleep in the water again.
By this point, Wolf, your glamour is back to full.
Oh, cool. What about my willpower? Need to work on that.
Yeah, okay. If you already have full glamour, then I'll let the rest of the soak refresh your willpower.
I was basically running on empty towards the end, so I'll go ahead and take the rest of that glamour.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
You were looking at me.
Go on.
No, I didn't have anything to say.
All right. So then it becomes Wolf's turn.
All right.
And
gets up, puts a towel on.
And Darla slinks over to a table and just sort of wobbly, like, not table, but a chair, and just wobbly, like, sits down and is like, I don't think I've ever felt this way in my entire life. And she, like, sips from the champagne bottle.
Give yourself a condition drunk. You've been doing that for a while.
Yeah, of course.
And with that, if no one has anything else to add, we'll go back to, well, rather you two will arrive back at the room.
Yeah.
With whatever information you've gathered.
Yep. We'll come back in and be like, got pamphlets. And I'll just throw them at Darla.
Hey!
And a map.
I like the idea of the pamphlets hitting her and she just doesn't even move.
She objects with her voice, but her body doesn't move.
Mason's going to walk over to Abernathy.
Well, we're going to have to go back for the map.
Oh, are they making it?
Yeah.
Oh, in an hour. Right.
And we need Wolf's seal.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, yeah, lower, just right, oh, holy shit, oh, I've had that knot since, like, 96, oh my god.
Oh yeah, that's a big one. We'll get you fixed up.
Right, well, later then,
you're welcome to come over here.
I'm gonna go take a nap.
Didn't you say you had something to say to Abernathy?
Yeah, about the map that isn't here.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's... Well, can we do a time skip?
Miss isn't going to take a nap. Sleep off crazy.
Yeah, if no one's got anything to say, we'll just time skip to an hour from now when Wolf's massage is just getting finished.
Oh, my God.
I think Dara's going to push herself up and go, all right, I'm bored. Let's do something.
I can't. I don't think my legs work anymore.
You have a fistful of pamphlets.
Sorry, what was that, Steven?
I don't think my legs work anymore.
Yeah, that's nice. And she looks through the pamphlets. She goes, "What's a magician and a ventriloquist?"
Abernathy gets up and just looks down and says, "Oh, damn, I'm all pruny."
Also, you're also dyed purple from the neck down.
Oh, all the rest of you seeing this.
Yeah, Darla points her finger and starts laughing at
I
him.
Look like fucking Grimace.
Well, it is a you good color
like
on
Barney.
You.
So you're naked and purple and spotted.
And pruny.
And pruny.
And a little shiny.
I am an abomination before God.
The purple-skinned masseuse looks mildly offended, but packs up her gear without comment.
I apologize. This isn't normal for me.
She gives Wolf and the masseuse a dirty look and says, "Why, I've never seen such ill-behaved slaves in my life."
Well, they're free-ranged.
So. They like it when we misbehave.
Don't worry. Fingers up in the air. I'll give them a good spanking
later.
We're
very naughty.
She picks up her two tables and says, "Well, I should hope so," and walks out.
I think.
How of all things is this weird to them?
Guys, I think you're just gonna have to be a little less mouthy, so you don't offend the locals.
I will slap you.
Hey! Don't talk to my wife like that.
Fuck you! I'll slap you too.
Yeah, I'm your mistress. You can't talk to me like that.
Hey, I can slap you. Apparently, window. I'm apparently a toxic straight guy.
Yeah, you support the patriarchy.
Apparently.
I am going.
Yeah, that joke got a little away from Wolf, didn't it?
Hey, if she's gonna be basically a villain, he's gonna play the part too.
So I think.
Gonna set your things on fire.
I think Darla's gonna change again because why not? Put on a nice dress, and I think she's going to go downstairs to the bar.
Okay. Does Darla care if her slaves are presentable for the theater?
Before she goes, JD is going to inform everybody that they have a dinner reservation for the ventriloquist / magician / comedian.
JD, buddy, dude, pal, that is the worst thing I've ever heard, and I cannot wait to see this.
Yeah, this sounds like garbage. Does sound like a once in a lifetime thing. So
I was just too curious.
I have got.
They
to
still
see
need
the
your
fuck
seal down there, apparently. So
do you have a seal?
Oh, I have a seal. What?
Apparently you have a seal. Make a seal.
Like a pet? Or like a...
No. Like for letters. I think. Is he supposed to have an actual seal?
That's the mystery. You gotta solve it.
Okay.
Wolf, can you use your new magic powers to make yourself a seal?
Okay. And he holds one hand palm up, one hand palm down. And he just kind of focuses in the middle part. Hadouken! Yagatouken!
What a weep.
Kamehameha! No, I got nothing. I give up. Fuck
I don't think you're even trying to do magic. I think you're just looking at your hands.
It's different, Darla.
Maybe, I don't know, clench up a little bit. You know, try and force it out.
I can't clench anything after that massage.
That's true.
I'm going to say Abernathy's in a towel. He's still purple from the neck down, though. And he says, "You're going to need to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. You're going to need to focus your chi, see if you can align your chakras in some sort of way."
Like, when I use my mind stuff, it feels like I'm pushing out a physical, thing, you know?
Well, when I do my stuff, mostly I'm just trying to get something out of it. So, wait. Is that what my magic is?
That's what most magic is.
Is my magic just bureaucracy? Am I basically just making magical requests and sometimes getting them?
That's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I really need to talk to the queen.
If it is magical bureaucracy, then maybe you can just, make a form and then be like, make a, like a, like a, like a mark on the page and, like, that's my seal.
So, Wolf is going to grab a pen and a cocktail napkin. And he writes, J.D. Mason and Abernathy can do what they want, -Wolf. And then he scrawls a signature underneath.
The napkin begins to glow in the font, and then the font burns its way through the napkin until you just have the markings of the letters you see through the napkin.
He holds it up and kind of looks through the napkin with the holes in it.
What does it say? I feel quite liberated.
He holds it out to JD.
Does this count?
I don't know. Does it?
I don't know.
I think the seal is in the eye of the beholder.
Let's try this out. Abernathy goes up and he wants to break something of Darla's.
What?
Nothing expensive.
I just didn't have any. The only thing. Okay,
nothing was stopping you from doing that earlier. I didn't give you pass to be a jerk.
I guess the champagne bottle.
Yeah, he takes the champagne bottle and just chucks it out the window.
Hey, that was really good.
You can get another one.
Indeed, that's fair. A fresh one arises from the drink cart.
And she uncorks it with like a dead face.
There you go. Well, I'm free as far as I'm concerned, I'm free as a bird.
Cool. So
we'll just time skip to you all in front of the concierge.
Yeah, so that cool continues until they're in front of the concierge, and he's like, yeah, is this good?
Oh, very good, sir, very good. Let me get my manager. I think we have the map ready.
And indeed, the elderly wolf comes out from the back holding a large scroll that he hands over with great pomp. And it has an old-fashioned red seal with a skull, like, stabbed in it. Product placement. And unwinds it, and you see essentially a marauder's map that just shows the buildings of the facility with the people moving in and the building changing as it goes about.
Been a while since I did one of those. Kind of glad you asked me to. Ought to have one on file. Case of fire, you know.
Totally.
Fire? Who said fire? I didn't say fire. Why are you talking about a fire? I was talking about a fire but you.
The other wolf, noticing your expressions, elbows the older wolf and goes, Arnie, why would there be a fire under the water?
That's a very good question.
You're right, I'm being silly. And he walks back to the behind-the-scenes area.
Change of plans. Get a big wrecking ball or a bunch of hammers.
Why did you guys get a map?
Well, if we need to suddenly find our way to safety or escape, we could.
Fair enough.
So, you all go to the show?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, hell fucking yeah.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I mean, is the ventriloquist the magician, or is the ventriloquist controlling the magician? There's a lot of questions here.
There is a very suspenseful build-up as you all make your way to your box seat and arrange yourselves, the master and mistress in their seats, the other three on the wood bench covered in spikes.
I'll stand.
Thank you.
After a while, the lights go down, and the performer steps onto the stage with a swelling orchestra and a rotating of different colored lights. It is one big man, probably 10 feet tall. He's extremely large, with three heads.
Mm. Oh!
One of whom has a puppet on his arm. And they begin a very lively, fast-paced routine by which the comedian begins a joke while the magician sort of interrupts the joke with magic acts. And the ventriloquist and his little hand buddy.
They're called dummies? You can call them that.
They're called what?
Dummies.
And his dummy interrupt at various points. It flows smoothly between a comedy act about something in his past, which goes into a magic trick by which he, you know, exacts revenge for this lifetime memory, and then the ventriloquist laughs about it. It's just it's an all-around variety show.
It's like Punch and Judy, but like in real life, I would want to see this. This setup alone sounds like on paper super funny.
And he does have a three-headed and surprisingly beautiful assistant who is quotation marks cut in half and quotation marks vanished and not quotation marks drowned.
Oh my god.
And then not quotation marks resurrected.
Oh my god.
To the intense approval of the crowd.
Whoa.
She gives a very stylish bow, as does he at the end of the show, and then they walk off hand in hand.
I'm gonna say that show was about life.
I think I think I need to call my parents.
I should not have smoked before seeing that.
Do you think that the bar cart lady has Xanax?
I hope so. I could
almost
use one.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's go do that.
You walk outside of the box to find a woman with one of those old school baseball concessions. It's like a tray with
cigarette girl.
Yeah, cigarette girl. Yeah, with a strap around her neck that holds it out, and she's shouting, "Xanax! Come get your Xanax!" She's waving the little boxes with like the blister packs inside and rattling them against the box.
I think Darla goes over to them, goes over to her and says, "Can I have one of your finest vintages?"
I've got 5 years out of...
Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
What happens to Xanax when it expires?
I have no idea.
I think they don't work.
Yeah, they just don't work.
She hands it out and says, "That will be $100,000.
Can you bill it to my account?
Right, we can. What's your room number?
I tell her.
And she writes it on the side of her box. Here you are, ma'am.
Thank you. I take it back to Wolf and I start undoing the blister packs. She said it's a good vintage.
That what?
Here, just take them.
These expired like 4 years ago.
They're worth $100,000 to the right people. she tosses one back and then chases it with from her champagne bottle.
Champagne works.
All right. Wolf pops his Xanax.
No effect, as far as you can tell.
Garrett is confused.
Welcome to okay. Lake Punishy Train. So you all exit the theater, and it is in the entertainment district, so you walk out into a perpetual night market festival, complete with kites of brightly colored animals, fishes, cranes, birds, stalls full of sizzling meat and screaming servants.
Why are they screaming?
Because
their meats are sizzling.
You really want to know.
Because they're getting those char marks on them.
Yeah, they're not free range.
We're toasting them evenly.
Troops of performers enacting ancient tales of spirits and monsters in the street to the delight of young child vampires and werewolves and beings of undiscernible origin. It's all in all very lively. On the far end, you see a line of carnival games, which all have odd prizes.
What kind of prizes?
Well, they range from a live chicken to a replica of the Great Hope Diamond.
Ooh.
To a stuffed animal, which is, for some reason, worth 20,000 tickets.
Abernathy wants to do two things. One, he wants to see if he can get a conversation in with another slave outside of this circle.
Mm-hmm.
And two, he wants to see if he can win that chicken.
Okay. So the chicken is at a booth where there's a little tank of water and little rubber ducks floating in a circle in the water. And all you have to do is pick up a rubber duck and you win the prize on the corresponding number.
What's the entry fee?
It's not really marked.
Excuse me, Connie.
A smartly dressed hotel slave walks over and says, "Yes, sir."
I have two questions here.
Go ahead.
First things first. He just kind of like lowers it. He lowers his voice, just kind of like curls his hand to kind of like bring him in for a quick whisper.
The man does not lean in, but he does step to the edge of the enclosure.
He says, "All right, slave to slave, are you here voluntarily?"
They're slaves.
The man blinks and he says, "Do I need to give you the definition of slave?" Uri.
It can be. Uri. Yeah, I'm just making sure. There is, you can be voluntarily in service to someone else, but... Never mind. I'm going to assume no.
He blinks.
Gotcha. All right. What is the cost of this game?
The equivalent in your universe of $10.
Good man. He just like takes a 10 right out of his wallet and smacks it down.
Excellent.
Is it?
The slave accepts it and puts it into a slot in the side of the booth, which is actually a paper shredder.
He picks it up and eats it, I guess. I was hoping he would eat it.
No, he literally just puts it in a shredder. And says, three ducks, sir.
Three ducks. All right. He is going to open himself up to the universe and see which duck calls to him.
Okay. Would you like to associate a roll with this?
Why not just composure occult?
Sure.
Composure occult. Jesus.
Oh.
For which duck calls?
For whom the duck calls? That's two successes.
Okay, so you pick up three and you are awarded a pig snout.
Oh, that's nice.
A rather smelly left tennis shoe.
Okay.
And a plate of sushi.
But I wanted the chicken.
$10, sir.
You all go on ahead.
Is the teddy bear the same stall or a different stall?
The teddy bear is the stall next door. It is, to your delight, JD, one of those trick ladders where you have to crawl up the ladder that's only attached by like a rope
yes.
over a bouncy thing.
The key is weight distribution. I got this.
Go on, you genetic freak. Have fun.
Stop. How much?
Oh, it's free, sir, if you can make it to the top.
Yes.
I assume... but first I need you to sign this waiver. And he hands you a tablet with a never-ending liability waiver on it.
He'll scroll a couple things and just go, meh, and then accept.
All right, then. How about it?
Is it
athletics, dexterity.
I assume I can add professional training?
Yes, you can. In fact, I hope you do.
Three. Four.
I'm hoping that I get four. This chicken. I'm Googling famous chickens right now for name inspiration.
Famous chickens? Camilla.
Okay, so you make it up four rungs, and then an anvil falls from the sky and knocks you off of the ladder, dealing four lethal.
Jeez! Are you gonna die in a cutscene?
Wolf runs over. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. How's he looking?
How are you looking?
Not great.
How many do you have left?
Three.
Okay.
I would like to use a contract.
Okay.
Okay. So, Wolf grabs a hold of, the anvil crush JD.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of bounces off. It's a bouncy surface that he landed on.
That's great. He still took four lethal.
Yes, he did.
And I'm activating shared burden.
Oh, that's okay. A good one.
Yes. Michael, how much damage have you taken?
It's four lethal.
Okay, I'm going to take, I'm going to lower that to two lethal, and I take four instead.
Wow. Okay.
Ouch.
I can't really stop him from doing that, so.
That's true. You simply have to accept it.
There's no dice roll for it, so.
So, the attendant...
Oh, wait, actually, I take 2 points of lethal damage and heal all of yours. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's really punishing for a contract.
Yeah. No, I take 2 lethal and you're fine.
Yeah, most of them have downsides, but taking twice the amount you heal is pretty intense.
How you feeling?
That feels way better.
Good. Good.
Why don't you do that more often?
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that again.
Well, why not?
No, that's clearly not. That was far more dangerous than it appeared.
Yeah, you know, those Looney Tunes cartoons are not as cute in real life.
Yeah, that's,
No, that was horrifying.
Yeah, I think I'm done with the carnival games.
So you don't want to go again, sir?
Shove it up your butt. Shove it up your butt. Up your butt.
You heard the man.
Up it.
I just work here, sir.
Up your butt.
I'm gonna report you to security, sir.
Yeah, JD, let's just go. We'll get you a drink.
But
I don't.
Let's get you a funnel cake. You want a funnel cake? I want a funnel cake. Let's get a funnel cake.
Let's get a funnel cake, and hopefully it won't be made out of anything scary.
I hate this place so much. I want to go home.
You find a totally normal funnel cake because I rolled below a 5. Back to Abernathy.
I got 3 successes this time.
So after a good 5 attempts at this.
Okay, I'll subtract some more.
You now have a pile of random shit, half of which is garbage and half of which is gourmet food.
Abernathy's just munching on that.
And with your last pull, you are awarded a man in a bird cage. Handed across the thing.
An entire man?
Yes, a man in like a fetal position inside a birdcage, staring at you.
What does the man look like?
He has sandy brown hair and brown eyes with a rounded face and sharp cheekbones. And when he meets your eyes, he gives a sort of eager smile. Hello, master.
Okay, I didn't expect this. So Abernathy just says, turns it, sets it on the ground, opens the cage, and says, you're free. Run, be free.
The man looks at you like, are you sure?
Yes.
Do you have any food? I haven't eaten in like 18 years.
What?
He jumps all the gourmet food at him.
Oh. So, he sort of crawls out tentatively and starts munching on your sushi and your
like
beer
E.T.
and your bacon. And he says, so how's your day going?
I don't know how to answer that. How's yours?
Oh, well, it's great. I'm free and I'm eating food. This is awesome.
Great. Hey, you wouldn't happen to know much about the inner workings of this place now, would you?
Oh, yeah, I know all about them.
Well, I would say that since I've freed you, that we have an amiable relationship so far.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm forever in your debt. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Scorpio.
Nice to meet you, Scorpio. I'm it.
Oh, no.
You just released it.
How about, that's an awful name. Abernathy says, do you want a new name?
Sure, whatever you like, sir.
Let's name you... ideas, I'm open to the table.
Timothy.
Timothy?
Wilfred.
Jimothy.
Jimothy.
Timothy. Jeremy.
Timofred?
Brandon.
Your name is Mason 2.
Not no! even the second. Not even no! Junior. Just Mason 2.
No! No!
I can't.
You killed Michael!
No!
Michael's dead.
Not okay.
I quit.
You're my slave, Mason
2. He's not my slave. I explicitly freed
him. My free slave.
That's not weird. Mason, that's not weird. No, no, that Mason doesn't raise too. Any red flags. No, no, you totally didn't want to kidnap Mason when he was a kid or something like that.
No. I can't believe that's the joke that got you guys.
Well, it turned so Abernathy into the creepiest character.
Because we gave you so many good name options, and then you just throw back Mason 2.
So I turned to Mason 2.
The man nods and goes, Mesa 2, that's a nice name.
Mesa 2, okay. Now, Mesa 2, get your hands out of your face.
It's because I was in a cage and my hair looks like this, huh?
What do you mean?
Like a cockatoo.
Yes. Yes, that's the reason. That's entirely the reason.
Oh, I see. Can we have this conversation in the bathroom? I really gotta pee.
Of course.
Sorry, it's just all coming back. I've been in stasis for a long time.
Okay. Yes, quickly into the bathroom. Everyone, I'm going to take my new friend to the bathroom.
None of us are there and no one cares.
Yeah, they're gonna think something's weird.
We're just gonna
then.
Smash cut that into the bathroom with Mesa 2 in the stall. Just making a really indecent noise.
We are going to lose all our listeners.
It goes on for a very long time. So what would you like to know?
Where is the... How do I destroy this whole place? He says, wait, before... He says that, like, checking under the other stalls.
There's no one else there.
Oh, thank God. How do I destroy this place?
Destroy, huh?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I guess if you wanted to destroy it, you could just hit the self-destruct button.
And where would that be? I must know.
John has his head on the table now, and I don't know why.
Of course it has a self-destruct button.
It's just a button.
It's just a button.
Oh, well, you know, it would be in the command center. Up in the highest room at the tallest tower. Yeah, I did just reference Shrek.
Mason 2, you have been invaluable. I would flee to the surface as early as possible. Once you're done with relieving yourself.
He finishes up, and you hear him zip his ragged pants. And he comes out, washes his hands, and he goes, gosh, I don't even know what I'd do in the surface.
You could always join the post office.
Would they hire someone with no degree or job experience?
Get a GED first and then you're all good.
Just join the post office. You know, that's a good idea. I always was good at walking before they put me in a cage.
That's the spirit.
This is the most twisted episode.
It is.
This show isn't nearly cheerful enough, guys. We need to have a lighthearted episode.
Where a slave becomes a postman.
After 18 years of stasis. And the longest pee.
Holy shit. So, to be sure, you don't... I didn't disappoint you, right?
Not at all.
Okay.
You've been quite entertaining for these last 20 minutes.
That's good. I take a lot of pride in my job, you know, and it just wouldn't stand by me to be, you know, unwanted by my new master.
Not quite the opposite. I want you to be free.
Okay. Can I use you as a reference? I feel like I know you really well, and I don't have any others. Not any others that I would want to know that I'm free.
This is killing me.
Abernathy pulls out a note and just like scribbles up a quick letter of reference because he intentionally has no contact info. So he just says that Mason 2 has been nothing but a delight in my life since minute one. Hire him. Signed Scorpio. rips it out of the book and hands it to him.
He looks at it like the most precious emerald. Oh, goodness, thank you. I don't know how I'll ever repay this kindness.
Go and live your life to the fullest.
I will. If I ever leave.
I recommend you do quickly.
I'm not sure how. No one ever leaves like Pontchartrain. Oh, well, thank you, sir. Have a good night. He wanders off into the evening.
Did you hear that?
I did. Meanwhile,
the Spring Queen is trying to get rid of you.
Darla is... go for it.
I thought we were just here for a nice weekend.
I don't know. Wolf's like tits deep in funnel cake right now, so he's pretty happy.
And covered in powdered sugar.
And Darla is very slowly sipping from her champagne bottle. And
you are crushing that thing.
Dude, when Darla does a vacation, she does a vacation. it's free booze, dude. And she's has her eye out for anyone hot and rich.
Okay.
What about her husband?
You're going to cheat on me?
Booze and expired Xanax.
It's really all it needs. She needs to get going, you know?
Uppers, downers, and candy corn, Michael. So, first order of business. Steven, heal that 2 lethal you just took from eating the funnel cake. The food here heals.
Okay.
And Darla, as you are people watching, you see a man who seems very prestigious. He's apparently some sort of race which has stone skin, but he has a very rumbly, pleasant, baritone voice, and he's wearing a suit which you immediately recognize as Armani, only extremely enlarged to fit his frame, per the wardrobe rules. And he is sort of living the flaneur life. He's just walking around, taking in the atmosphere, almost seeking a companion the way that you are, and your eyes meet from across the byway full of people.
Darla shoots him like a flirty smile and like raises her champagne glass like hey.
His stone face is unmoving, however he does raise his hand in a casual wave and then returns it to his pocket in that cover of a romance novel stance.
I think Darla's gonna walk over to him and be like, howdy, you want to buy me a drink?
So he has a sort of Easter Island head-like face that doesn't move, but his rumbly voice emits from it in a sort of magical way.
This is very strange. But
and it says, why certainly?
Well, lead on.
He walks through the carnival square until you arrive at a sort of beer garden tent with a line of tables and waitresses in classy sort of faux tuxedo looks with little hats.
And loincloths.
The nice loincloths.
They're dressed, actually.
Oh, that's good. That's how nice it is.
Refreshingly paid servants.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a high-class place. And he sort of doesn't sit because he would crush, but he hovers over the chair in an imitation of sitting. What brings you here this evening?
Well, I'm just on a little vacation with some friends of mine.
Oh, lovely. I live here.
You live here?
I do. I manage the casino establishment.
Oh, the casino. Well, that looks like a whole lot of fun.
Many think it is. Many think it's not. For me, it's really nothing to do with that. It's just about profit.
Oh? Is it... I mean, I don't know anything about casinos. Is it really profitable? Do you make a lot of money?
Well, they say the house always wins.
Oh, that's true. I guess and that's why I don't gamble.
I care very much about winning.
Oh. So are you a... Are you a competitive sort? Are you a gambling man yourself?
Well, they say the sphinxes are born only to 2 things, truth and victory.
So you're a sphinx? Is that what you are?
Half sphinx.
Oh.
Half gorgon.
Half gorgon?
Yes.
Wow,
that's... On my mother's side.
That's unusual.
Yes. Many are curious as to their methods of procreation, but I myself am not aware.
Yeah, I can't even picture what that would even look like in my head.
My father wasn't around, he says sadly.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
It's all right. It instilled in me an indomitable pursuit of profit and success, which has led to my success in life.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I'm also exceedingly literal. I hope it's not off-putting.
You know, I like a man who says exactly what he's thinking.
Can JD and Wolf see this?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, she's gonna fuck that statue.
She is very drunk.
Yeah, Darla is pretty schwacy by this point. So, what is your name?
situation. Way to ask the tough questions, Deanna.
Mason 3.
Stop it.
He says, my name is Granite, ma'am.
Oh, it's a very strong name.
Thank you. Granite Gar.
Granite Gar.
Yes.
Oh, my. Like Garth Brooks. I get it.
Never heard of him.
So about that drink.
Yes. Oh, yes. And he... he stiffly raises his arm and summons the barkeep and gets you scotch on the rocks.
It's all on the rocks.
Well, thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.
Oh, are you leaving?
Well, I mean, do you want me to stay?
I'm open to a game.
What kind of game?
For your heart.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Literal.
I mean, we just met.
Indeed. That is the challenge. How long will you be staying?
Oh, not very long. Couple of days.
Couple is confusing. How many days?
Two more, maybe? I don't know.
Two. Very well, Miss Darla. You did not give him your name.
Oh.
He puts his heavy hand on your back and says, I swear by the heavens, in 2 days' time I shall have your heart.
That sounds a little literal.
He stands and bows slightly at the waist. I am a very literal man. And then walks away.
Well, that was dead.
Gonna take her scotch back to her group and go, I don't know what I just did, but it may have been bad.
She's gonna. You were trying to fuck that statue.
Well, he looked like he had a lot of money.
All right, if you're going to be my wife, you're going to need higher standards.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to be married this weekend?
Married.
She's going to have her heart ripped out of her chest, Mortal Kombat style.
And wasn't it not but, like, 12 hours ago that you went on a date with a random man and he turned out to be a crazy monster and we all almost died?
Maybe pump the brakes a little
bit. Yeah, maybe I should stop doing that.
Your hunt for dick is going to get everyone killed.
It's not dick I'm looking for.
You're a hunt for money attached to a dick.
How is Singer doing?
I don't know. She hasn't called me.
Oh.
She tries not to look upset.
Oh.
Whatever, and then she tosses back the scotch and then tosses back the champagne.
You are going to be so sick.
I'm
going to
give you the conditions shwasted.
Shwasted. Well, what are we going to do now?
Well, I never want to be here again. Do you guys want to...
We're on a schedule. Are we meeting with the person who sent us here soon?
Are we?
I thought that was on the schedule.
We just made a reservation.
Oh, we're just here for 3 days, and then somebody's getting us out of here. Maybe we should go talk to the Percys and ask them how we leave.
That's a good idea.
Everyone, Abernathy finds them, I assume.
Yeah.
He reconvenes and he says, "Everyone, I have excellent news. First things first, I have assisted in our liberation of this hellhole with one person, but from that one, many will follow. I think I know how we're going to get out of here and get rid of this place forever."
We're in the middle of a very crowded street.
Yeah, that's why I lowered my voice.
Can we go back to the room, or...
Yeah, I literally can't deal with this right
Darla
now.
I don't know if Darla's going to be able to walk right soon.
I can walk.
Can she walk right now?
Probably with help.
Yeah.
Okay, Mason's gonna...
It may not be in a straight line.
Yeah, we're gonna get under the shoulder and help her move straight. She's
as if
me, so.
To assuage your fears on your wobbly trek back to the room, you pass no less than three soapbox rallies in which some manner of creature in fringed and worn clothing is calling for revolution.
That didn't take long at all.
I mean, they were there before. You just didn't
okay.
notice.
Oh, okay.
but now Abernathy gets to take credit for it.
I like that Abernathy took credit for it. Like,
well, no, it says, unless anyone reminds him otherwise, or tells him otherwise, Abernathy's going to believe that, Mason, too, I'm so proud of you.
You hear him say Mason, too?
Yeah, everyone.
Oh, do not let Wolf know that. He is going to dissect that.
I think he just said that out loud.
Did it? Or would sure. that be contemplative?
Well, he just probably in a low voice. Nothing.
A what?
Nothing.
Did you just say?
You said my name.
Mason, too?
I did. Anyway, weren't we going back to the room?
Yeah, I
guess.
Anyway,
come on,
Darla. Viva la resistance, he says, just putting his fist in the air, and then it's like, let's go.
You're going to get Gestapo'd.
What nonsense. We're guests here.
Gestapo.
You know, we'll punish me for it when we get back to the room.
I'll make you put on the thong.
Oh, my God. I really don't
You think
that.
I'm afraid of that?
Prove it.
Oh, so we cut back to the room with Abernathy and a thong.
And his kimono.
And it's like, that and that. And so I told him that he was free, and he told me about the self-destruct button. And then he uncrosses his legs and recrosses them with the other leg.
Don't do that.
Ever want to bear witness to this again.
You know.
As long as I
How can your kimono possibly be that loose? I know it's a kimono, but that is preposterous.
It's a very fun suit.
Abernathy, so what you're telling us is you took a slave, fought him out.
I won a slave, technically.
That doesn't make it better.
I immediately
You had
freed
a slave.
I
you
immediately
kept
freed
him. You freed him, and now you're going off the assumption that this kid who was in cryostasis or something for 20 years knows about a magic button that will blow this place up.
Is that really the craziest thing that we've seen?
Jenny wants to look
no,
at the
but
map
it's the
and
stupidest
see if
thing
a
I've heard.
Self-destruct button on there.
Roll me a intelligence investigation.
Do you declare that you're doing that, or are you just looking through
he
the
just,
map?
He just grabs the map and does it.
Is that two dice?
Yes.
I would be so good at this roll, but I don't.
Actually, yeah. One.
Hey. There is a control center.
Yeah, I want to.
Is it at the tallest tower?
It is.
Good.
Check that.
Wolf still tells him that's the stupidest thing he's ever heard.
Does it have the little feety prints in there?
It does. There are lots of feety prints in
there.
There's
lots of people in there. Does anybody in particular sound important?
They're more like dots. They look like little dirty dots.
Does an investigation of four contribute to the cost?
I suppose you're fine now that you see the map.
Yeah.
Yes, but the rooms do not have details like self-destruct button. It just says the room and the people in it.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be great, though?
That would be pretty great. Button is here.
Self-destruct button.
Hmm. Fuck it, that's more fun. It says self-destruct button. With a little red arrow. And on that note, we'll end our game for today.
We're living in a goddamn cartoon!
You just see him go, huh, it's right there.
And it actually, no, it actually literally appears the moment Mason rolls a four. It was not there before.
Wolf looks down at it and just goes, this is the stupidest place
The map is
ever.
Powered by the creative forces of the mind.
And Wolf says, what was that?
This is the stupidest place. Ever.
I don't think I like it here anymore.
I'm cutting.
That's the end.
I am exhausted.
Uncanny Valley Cancer Cell was created by Buckle Nagel and Stephen Pope and produced by Buckle Nagel, Stephen Pope, and Deanna Venable. Editing and mixing done by Stephen Pope and John Tompkins. The players are Deanna Venable's Darla, Garrett Schmickle's Abernathy, Stephen Pope's Wolf, Michael Morris as JD, John Tompkins as Mason, and Buckle Nagel running the game. Hunter the Vigil 2nd Edition is created and published by Onyx Path Publishing. Find us online at Uncanny Show on Twitter and at UncannyValleyShow.com. Make sure to check out other Save and Throw Show productions like Wild Cards or Experience Pointers wherever you get your podcast. And hey, have a good night.